This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, this is Carolyn Cromings again, and welcome back to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about all the ways to protect your business and not get screwed in the construction industry. And today we're talking about bookkeeping for construction. I know you guys are super excited, but it's something you all know that you absolutely need and you need to understand and you need to get better at watching. So today I have with me Matthew Reif of Heritage Analysis and Innovation. Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So before we jump into all the good stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into the finance, and then how you got into finance and construction together.
Sure. So I started off in banking. I always took an interest in actually just truly helping like clients and businesses with their financial information and keeping everything forward. So once I graduated with my bachelor's degree, I took an interest in banking, but lo and behold, it's actually more sales focused than it is like, hey, we want to sit down and help you. So I switched over to accounting, and I was doing accounting in the logistics industry for a few years. And eventually, when I moved out to the Chicago area, I just went back and got my master's and just kind of started off on my own doing it freelance for some actually construction companies, and found that I really enjoyed the industry because I know it's a highly underserved industry and keeping things organized and everything like that, as far as like knowing what actually has to go into everything. But also, I know a lot of construction companies in the industry are like self-built and everything, and they basically provide for families and stuff. And I just want to make sure like my business provides for my family. So I want to make sure I'm helping others like do the same and making sure that they're keeping everything straight and know what to do. So I know it's an ever-flowing industry, so it just keeps going. So,
all right. So tell us, like in the construction industry, what should you be looking at, and how often should you be looking at it?
Well, first off, if you're gonna, you can sell jobs all day long, but essentially, if you're not keeping track of what the income is doing, what the expenses are doing, and everything, you're never really just gonna get anywhere, because essentially, the financial side of your business is the backbone of your business. When you're looking for things, you need to just be doing it at least once a month, at a minimum, maybe once a quarter, to keep track of everything. Because when you get to the end of the year and you need to file taxes, you don't want to be rushing the first part or the end part of the year to do a whole year's worth of transactions to realize you lost money. So you want to know sooner so you can make adjustments in like pricing and stuff like that. So
how do you get these guys on that track, right? Because I know that like they're flying, they want to just keep the doors open, they're not even looking at this stuff. How do you pull them in, and what kind of plan do you lay out for them?
So when we realize that they come to us from our marketing and stuff, like they actually need help, we sit them down, we run them through how we set them up. We have a three-step process that we go over. The first step is just set up and clean up, because we have to set them up. It's basically almost like setting their business up anew, but on the accounting side, because you have to truly understand like what goes into a financial report is like your profit and loss and stuff like that. Once we have a couple months of that, we take them into step two, which is just keeping you informed and stuff so that you can be able to move on to step three and grow your business. Keeping you informed is sending you monthly financial reports, getting for doing job costing with them. We work on a weekly basis to keep their jobs up to date, so that way they can actually say, hey, I need a job report on this job, and we can show them where it's at. And if they need to make adjustments quick, or if they're like, hey, I need to make adjustments on the new one, they're able to stay more informed than 6 months down the road. They're like, oh, I just lost some money. So,
okay. So, would you recommend to them, do they put all of their transactions in daily, weekly? How often should they be doing that?
So that's actually what we handle. So we are actually, once they are, if they have a, we work with them through QuickBooks. And once they have like a QuickBooks login and everything, we are working on their transactions, putting them where they need to go. If we ever have questions on them, we're sending them a weekly report asking them what the specific transactions are, because we're not always going to know. But when we're doing job costing and like their transactions, we also ask for access to their like Home Depot accounts and stuff like that. So essentially, when we're doing this, we can take it more off their hands and keep their job costing in line, so they don't have to, because as we know, they don't slow down. So
absolutely. So let's go into the job costing stuff. What does that look like? How do you set it up? How is it set up as its own job in QuickBooks? Or tell me, like, from a, I kind of have an idea, but what does it look on the technical side, how to do a good job costing?
Yeah. So people do it, or companies do it a couple different ways. When we're starting them off, we start them off in QuickBooks. The main reason is because normally it's still just them and they want to get an understanding of it. When you're doing job costing in QuickBooks, job costing can flow right out of the transactions that we're doing for you. So when you're in QuickBooks, you have to create a project. Normally that project consists of the customer, and then normally clients have job codes. Normally it involves the last name and their address, or just the address. And then we request information to know when they're actually starting and ending the job, so we can send out the reports to them. And as they're running the reports, we're running through their transactions, putting them where they're supposed to go, keeping them up to date weekly. And then what happens is we flow in the income, meaning when they get paid for the invoices and stuff they invoice out of. Then we flow in the transactions. And what that looks like in QuickBooks is it gives you an actual like overlook of what the profit is. So you have to send an invoice for them for it to match to the job. The expenses get tagged to that job, and then essentially at the end of it spits out your profit margin, and then that way you can understand where it was truly spent. And if you're obviously at a negative, we sit down with them. If they have time, we have time, and then we can help them understand, saying, well, you overspent on labor, or there was extra unexpected change orders here that you didn't account for, so you have to issue a change order and stuff. So
Okay, so like job costing, you're going to start with the contract amount you're charging the client as this is how much we're getting, and we want to see how much we make at the end of the day. And so you're taking into account all the like material expenses. So like when they go to Home Depot or something, there should be like a PO number that
correct.
matches that project. And so
Correct.
you take that information and put it in that number, and it starts deducting from that total that they're going to get
Correct.
paid from the owner, right?
And yep.
Go ahead.
And most of them just get paid. So we don't necessarily enter the full contract because the contract could change. We just invoice based on the contract because
Okay.
we get the contract and upload it into the job so that we can know, like, and they just go in and issue the invoices as they're going to get paid, so we can make sure that it's going to the proper job. Because if they're just getting deposits all day long, we have to know which job it is, or if it's just a personal deposit for some reason. So
It's like on a cash basis. You're not counting it until the cash is in. Is that right?
right, we can issue an invoice and all day long, and then the invoice can just sit there. And if or we issue the invoice and we know the payment's coming next week, they'll just issue the invoice so they can get it paid and out of QuickBooks. So
Gotcha. Okay, so keeping track of like the things that we buy, and that sounds pretty easy. How do you keep track, and how do you apply on these jobs the man hours? What does that look like?
in most cases, you're going to get the man hours out of subcontractors, because
Okay.
there's sometimes confusion of what should go on the jobs and what shouldn't. A lot of times it's just subcontractors that go on there for the expense and everything. A lot of GC companies especially will have subcontractors, and then like your labor is specifically just overhead because you're just working and you're collecting the check. Now, there's a difference if you run a company to where if ever all your employees are 1099, like they're employees, they will actually should track hours on each job. We have a client that does that, and those get tagged to those jobs. It really just kind of depends on the setup of the company, because then they're charging construction management fees to them to manage the job. So,
Gotcha. So it's either like your subcontract cost or your employee cost. And
correct.
then do you add overhead to each project too, or how do you consider that?
We don't normally overheads, it's separate category, because what happens is it's income less the cost, like direct costs that go into it. Overhead accounts for a certain percent of the business at the end of the day, because it's
Gotcha.
normally just running the same, like your insurance. You're paying these guys just 40 hours a week, and they're doing this and they're on this job and stuff like that.
Okay,
So
so it's not considered in the actual project, just in the overall company.
depending on the business, like if that like the other client, he's 1099, we're putting those over there, but it's still getting categorized as overhead because essentially it is overhead. So
Gotcha. But you still want to see if you're making money on this job or not.
correct. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's how the job costing works. And so you're sending that to them kind of weekly so they can see where they're doing. So in real time, so they can still modify if they're if there looks like
Correct.
they're going to lose money. They can.
Correct. Because if they forget to issue a change order or something, then they're going to know, like, oh, we have to issue this to be able to get this more income and stuff. So
Gotcha. Absolutely.
yep.
Have and how had you seen have for some from somebody who hasn't done this at all to starting doing, What is the difference? Is there any way you could go back and show them how much they were losing on jobs and or anything like that?
Yeah, we have been contracted by some companies to do like a review of a few jobs. Like normally when we're just doing like catch up work and cleanup work, we don't because we're just trying to get them established in general. But like we have had a few clients where we do go back and do like the last few jobs just because we're already cleaning it up so they can get a perspective on get going. We have clients that will sign up for job costing right away, or they just want to get their basic bookkeeping set before they move into job costing so they can see if they have the be able to pay for the expense. So
And in your experience, what is the before? Like the few ones that you've gone back and done the few jobs before, and then the after when they're actually paying attention, what does that look like? As
there's a
far as
lot of change that,
the
yeah, there's a
bottom
lot of change that comes out of it. We've had a couple clients to where they were just earning next to nothing, like, and then they realized, well, I gotta up prices. And then once they up prices after a few jobs, they saw the change because they weren't charging enough. And I mean, I see people posting out asking for advice, like, what should I charge for this job? It doesn't matter. Like, you have to know your numbers to what you're gonna ask for. John down the road is gonna charge different because his overhead's different. So you really need to sit down and know your budget, to be able to bid a job if you know you're gonna make money. So, because if you're not,
Exactly.
what's the point? So,
Yeah, so like nobody can tell you what your numbers are.
right.
You
You
gotta
have
know what
to
your costs
know.
are before you can decide what if you're gonna make money or not, or before you can
Exactly.
plan on making money.
Exactly.
It just doesn't happen by accident. All right, so that's the job costing. So then you also said on a monthly basis we should look at a P&L. Overall, what is the P&L? What does P&L stand for, and what is it, and what are we looking at?
So a P&L is a profit and loss for the business. It essentially shows you the income less the cost of goods sold, which is all your direct costs, like your materials, less your overhead, which then gets you your net profit, which is actually what goes into taxes. So essentially, if you know you need to have lower taxes, then you either need to spend some more in overhead, or like you have to account for that and everything, and you can track that on a monthly basis. Now in this industry, you're going to have up and down months because you could invoice a whole bunch in one month and have a bunch of costs in the next because you got paid up front on stuff. So it differentiates, but understanding what goes into that is key, because if you're also a single member LLC, you have to understand if you're taking draws on the account, you have to know, like, well, am I going to take enough in excess to worry about capital gains and stuff like that, because that can happen. So there's a lot that goes into it, but understanding that to be able to know, like, a profit and loss is also used if you need to go get business credit. Lenders want the last like so many months in taxes to be able to go your profit and loss. We had one client we had to do that for because he needed a loan, and he was also doing other stuff, and he needed 3 years worth of it. And we're like, well, okay, that's not something we can do overnight. But we put it together, and then we got it to him, and he used it what he had to use it for. But he didn't have it, so that's the point. So,
Well, and your banks are kind of leery to lend people money that don't know what's going on in their
oh
books.
yeah, don't blame him.
It's kind of an unnecessary risk.
exactly.
Once you guys get these more established and you send out these P&Ls, what do you advise them to look at, or what are you looking for as far as just an overall health of the business?
When we go over the reports, there's at certain levels we also offer like a free once a month type of sit down with us so that we can just like truly help you understand the numbers. But when we're sending them to them, we just want them to understand, like, here was your, like, if you lost money, where did you lose money? Like, if I have a client that I'm sending a P&L to and they're losing money, I actually take the time to see where it is and say, hey, you lost money because you had way too much material purchases, or you invoiced too much last month because of taking on multiple jobs at the end, so you didn't have much income on this. So just helping them understand, because you can send the report to them and they're not going to know what they're looking at 9 times out of 10. So they're just going to be like, hey, I made money. Yeah, that you did, but you need to cut costs here to be able to even it out. So
Yeah, and
yeah.
especially if you're looking at that 1 month, you need to look at the month compared to the year too. Where are you standing for the year?
You can have 3 bad months out the year and still make like $175,000 because you didn't invoice in those months. So it happens.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. So you're a bookkeeper, but then tell me about a financial advisor. Kind of what do they, what does that role look like?
Yeah, so we just keep to the bookkeeping job, costing everything, but having a financial advisor, and we do a tiny bit of it. I mean, we just pull out stuff on the information, but having a financial advisor can help you too, because essentially as the business grows, you're going to be wanting to make investments in things. You're going to want to be able to understand how much can I actually take out and stuff like that. And a CPA helps with that too. Like, because once you get to a specific point, you have to turn into an S-corp. An S-corp, as the owner of the company, you have to take a salary. And most people don't even know what they should pay themselves. And that's where a financial advisor and a CPA can come in to be able to, like, help you understand you need to take this to avoid tax, and let's revisit it in, like, next year or something, or in 6 months, so.
Gotcha. And so, I mean, that's, like, way down the road. But for, like, guys just starting out, what mm-hmm. should they be doing? And, how, you know, how is it something they can afford right away, or is it? Tell me what would you tell somebody that's new to the business? I talk to guys all the time. They're like, I'm getting ready to get started. I'm starting my company. I want to look at my contracts. Like, what would you tell somebody that's getting ready to start, and what would be the price point they're looking at?
I would just say, like, when you're getting started, at least invest in accounting software, whether it's like Wave or, I mean, obviously everybody out there is using QuickBooks, like, and we use QuickBooks with clients. So for us, we just say at least get a small subscription to start keeping track. Whether you do it once every couple months and stuff, because you're going to get, like I said, you're going to get to the end of the year and you're going to have to spend so much time doing it, when if you just do it once a month or once every couple of months to keep it going, you're going to be, when you get to the end of the year, you can just be able to be like, okay, well, we're set. If you obviously can't afford to have somebody come in, that's what we recommend on doing, at least keeping it going and as you grow. But at the same time, having a bookkeeper for a business, I say, is essential, at least in some capacity. And that's why we do the way we do it. We charge once monthly, and then we're working through the month. Now, our rates are based on certain aspects of the business, but if it's not affordable, we also kind of help them understand that if you don't do it, here's how much time you could be spending on it. And you could be, like, if you essentially, throughout this number the other day, if you're spending 6 hours a month just trying to keep track of your bookkeeping, what would that time look like if you had more time to put out estimates and stuff? You would more than pay for your bookkeeper if you landed more jobs. But you're sitting there and having to waste your time doing it, and if you don't know how to do it, you're losing time yourself with your family and in your business, so.
I agree. It's such a, you know, I think these guys get started because they, you know, they love what they do, and they don't realize very quickly that you have to learn how to run a business. So you want to do the thing that you love.
They're not always business savvy. They know what they're doing. Like, they know what they're doing in their profession. They just don't know how to manage the business. So,
yeah. And in your experience with your guys, how much are you seeing a non-collection issues? Is that an issue a lot? Like, not actually collecting the money?
There are times, yes. A lot of our clients have not had an issue, and if they do, they just kind of settle, like, so that they can get out of it. They want to be able to, like, not have to go to court and stuff, because at the end of the day, if you can settle on it, every party comes to an agreement. You may lose money, but having to go to court is going to cost you more time and effort than it is to just kind of, if you can settle. But at the same point, homeowners take advantage of contractors. There's contractors that take advantage of homeowners. It's on both sides. So it just kind of, you have to approach it. Each situation is different. Like, and you, something I was in a conference yesterday, something I learned is that you never know what's going on in their lives. Like, that contractor could really need that money for something, or something may have happened in that person's life where they really just can't pay it right now. But communicating is the key part of that. Like, if you go dark and just not communicate, that does not look good on any side. So, but just keeping communication. So,
no, absolutely. I agree. And here's a big thing too, is expectations. If we're upfront about expectations, and payment issues don't become an issue Correct. Later on. And the, one of the things, like, especially the repair remodel guy contractors that I try to do, mm-hmm. Is let the homeowner know on the front end about, like, what the punch out process looks like. Because first off, sorry.
It's okay.
I have to turn that down. We can cut that out. First off, they don't know about the process, and if you don't explain it to them, and it's not what they expected, then they're going to be upset. But the punch out process too lets them know that here, you know, as we're going on, there's going to be things that aren't exactly perfect.
Correct.
But we're going to get to them. But here's the thing. You're going to give me one list, and we're going to do this one time. Because what I see getting pushed out on payment is, oh, come fix this. Come fix this. And so we're upfront about, there's one punch. You're going to sign off, and we're going to get final payment. If it's not on that one punch list item, then it's a warranty claim. And I don't honor warranty claims until I've been paid in full. So that way we kind of work it in, like, here's the process, because that's where I see mostly. And it could be, and if you're doing it right, it's a small amount, right? It's
just
it's just an annoying amount. It's $780. It's $1,000, right? But it's enough to piss you off, right?
Right.
And so we're upfront about this process. And then it's very clear in the contract that, hey, we don't honor the warranty unless we've been paid in full.
Right.
You're on your own.
And that's kind of another thing. Contractors are doing 50-50. I hate 50-50, I'm going to be honest. Because, like, I partner with a job costing company, and they actually do coaching as well. That's where I was in a conference with them yesterday. And they stress getting paid weekly because at the, like, as the percentages go and stuff, because if you're getting paid weekly, you've done this, here's my list, you sign off on it. But also, if something comes up, you've been paid to that point, you can either write off the rest, or you can come to an agreement with the client to be able to do things. And that, to me, is what I kind of stress too, is 50-50, congrats, you got a bunch of money up front, go buy your supplies, you're out of money.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, until the next 50-50. If you structure your payments like saying we take 4 or 5 draws based on this and these are due, you don't continue work until they're done. But also that homeowner has the right to say, hey, if this work's not done, I'm not paying you.
Absolutely.
Then at the point, you're not going to lose half your money. I mean, granted, they're still tied up, but you can know before you have to do it, not at the end and tie up half your money. So
absolutely. And you're like putting all this out. And the less you can work on credit, the more you can control it, the better, right? And so even if it's a smaller down deposit, like 25%, but we're in. And so the other thing too on that, I think all my contracts are set up in milestone payments like that. So, you know, we're upfront about here's what the milestone is, but then we're also very upfront. When we reach this milestone, we're going to invoice you.
Correct.
If you don't pay us within that 5 days, we get to stop. Because homeowners kind of know the project, but they're not might not be exactly sure when you reach that milestone. So just being very upfront about when we reach it. And then, I mean, how essential is cash flow to a business?
It's basically the backbone. Like, so is the financial. If you don't have money flowing, you can't pay guys, you can't buy things, you can't do fuel. So essentially, if you have that set up and you're just working on credit, like saying, oh, we'll pay you. No, like, it's your business too. It's your livelihood. I see it time in and time out, and I know you do too. Like, people screwing over contractors, contractors screwing over people. Like, you have to protect yourself nowadays. So
absolutely. And I say that with a provision is that in California, you absolutely cannot do that. You can only get $1,000 down, and then you cannot bill in advance. So, you know, it's a way different system out there. But everybody else, as far as I know, everybody else can. And I highly suggest you do. Okay, so is there anything else you think contractors should know that I didn't go over that's important to their daily running of their business?
I would just say that just truly understand what the financial side does for your business. I don't think a lot of contractors understand that. Like, having things together, being informed, like, yes, we're a cost. Everything's a cost in doing business. If I come to you and ask for to come fix something in my house, you're going to give me your price. I give you my price, and then I get haggled because, so I'm honest with them. I'm like, this is what my cost is. Like, and I've had a couple people I've told, I was like, would you allow a client to do this and stuff? Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be a cost for your business regardless. It is. But if you truly understand what that cost can help you with your business, then it's going to wash out within a few jobs. Like, if you can increase your prices within 2 months because you know my cost is going to be nothing to what you can earn. So,
absolutely. But it's such a gain for a business. And to truly see it, you know, it changes the perspective of everything, right?
Yep.
Like, you know, if you're making money or not, and you can look at it on a monthly basis or on a job basis. Did I make money? Did I lose money? It's kind of, because we're all in business to make money, right? That's not a dirty thing. It's not a bad word.
Not a secret.
But there's got to be some reward for taking all this risk and working this hard. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. There has to be. And at the end of the day, if you can see what your jobs are doing, if you're losing money in all your jobs, your business ain't going anywhere. If you're making money and losing one here or there, it's going to happen because stuff happens. But if you're making your profit margin on every other job, you're going to be doing okay, and you're going to be growing.
So. And imagine, and just the not the stress of feeling so tight all the time, of having to make payroll and feeling stressed out. If you have a better control on the cash flow and you're making more profit on more job, the less of that stress and anxiety that you're going to have as a business owner.
Plus you can pay yourself. So
yeah, exactly. Can you imagine that?
And I'm like, well, then how are you going to survive? Like, you're going to go out of business and your guys aren't going to have a job. So
exactly.
people want to feed your kids. Yeah, people want to come into a job and know that they're secure. And if the business owner's not getting paid and he's just paying me, it's like, okay, well, how long is this going to go on? So, like, I'm glad I'm getting paid, but at the same time, people want to know in security that they're working with GCs or contractors that I can go back to this guy for reliable income. So.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and in any industry. All right, so Matthew, people wanted to reach out to you. Where could they find you?
Facebook primarily. I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram too. Best way to reach me is my personal Facebook, also my website. Just go through there or email us. Like, we're pretty open to communication on any channel. Like, if you need help, reach out. If you want some advice, we normally offer some advice on a free consultation call just to go over what your current need is and what we would recommend if you can't afford people. But also just truly helping understand the value, like, what goes into our services for your business. So
awesome. And we'll put all that in the show notes so everybody can just click and link to all your stuff. So thank you so much for being on the show, Matthew. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Thank you.